From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. The MFA support the Ministry of SOEs in BUMN Go Global. Minister of Communication and Informatics and French Ambassador discuss cooperation in ICT. Now the news in details. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises SOE signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Economic Cooperation to support BUMN SOEs Go Global. The MOU was signed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of State and Enterprises Erick Thohir at the Pancasila Building, Ministry of Foreign Affairs Jakarta on Friday, July 17. In her remarks, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that since the beginning of March 2020, the cooperation between the Foreign Ministry and the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises was very intensive. In fact, she continued, during the COVID-19 pandemic, the cooperation between the two ministries is getting stronger. Retno said her side is ready to work with the Ministry of SOEs in the economic field to support BUMN Go Global.
Intinya, Kementerian Luar Negeri akan sepenuhnya mendukung program BUMN Go Global.
The point is that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will fully support the BUMN Go Global program. This is the importance of this MOU to be signed to provide a strong foundation for further cooperation. Through this MOU, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and State-Owned Enterprises, SOEs, will form a team with the BUMN Go Global to support the development and expansion of SOEs in the global markets and joint identification of inbound and outbound investment opportunities. Meanwhile, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir said the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding was in line with President Joko Widodo's expectation, namely the country's diplomatic focus, which is not only politically, but to develop the Indonesian business. Erick hopes that the cooperation between the two ministries can make Indonesian products work internationally. This collaboration between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and State-Owned Enterprises aims to develop SOE's products, including in the health and defense sectors that have been recognized in many countries. The Indonesian Minister of Communication and Informatics, Johnny J. Plate, received a courtesy visit of the French Ambassador to Indonesia, Oliver Schambacht, at the Ministry of Communication and Informatics Office Jakarta on Friday, July 17. This visit aims to discuss cooperation between the two countries related to information and communication technology, ICT. The Minister of Communication and Informatics, Johnny J. Plate, told the media the seriousness of the French government to take part in three projects in the fields of information and communication technology in Indonesia, namely the construction of the National Data Center, the Broadcasting Digitalization Project on TVRI, and the Satria Satellite Project.
Ya, secara khusus hari ini, Bapak Duta Besar menyampaikan komitmen pemerintah Prancis.
Today, the French ambassador conveyed the seriousness of the French government to be actively involved in financing and taking part in the construction of a government data center in Indonesia, funded by the French government. The second is the commitment to take part in the ITTS-3, Improvement on Television Transmitting Station project, digitalization broadcasting on TVRI, which, in addition to France, there are several other countries that are also interested. And we also discussed the readiness of financing and competition for Satria HTS, or High Throughput Satellite Project, which will be used by the Bhakti Kominfo Public Service Agency, BLU. Meanwhile, French Ambassador to Indonesia, Oliver Chambert, said he really hoped that this project could be implemented soon because this project was very important for Indonesia. He also expressed the seriousness of the French government to encourage the acceleration of funding and development of the three projects. For the first time, one of the largest Islamic mass organizations in Indonesia will hold a virtual consultation meeting, or Tanwir, on July 19. This Tanwir session will discuss two main issues, namely the postponement of the convening of the Congress and the strategic steps that Muhammadiyah will take in adapting to the COVID-19 pandemic. Secretary of the Central Executive Board of Muhammadiyah, Agung Danarto, told the media at a press conference on Friday afternoon in Yogyakarta, through this Tanwir session, the Central Executive Board of Muhammadiyah will consolidate to take the right policy in handling corona outbreaks in Indonesia. Muhammadiyah itself at the Tanwir session will consolidate all elements of Muhammadiyah so that we can adapt to the COVID pandemic as well as we can provide solution for the country. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Central Executive Board of Muhammadiyah, Professor Dr. Haidar Nasir, said the main reason for Muhammadiyah to postpone the schedule for holding the Congress was for the common benefit and the goodness of the members. Muhammadiyah will continue to be actively involved in handling the pandemic. Furthermore, Haidar Nasir requested that all Indonesian entities not underestimate the plague that has hit the whole world. Haidar also asked the government to be more serious in handling the corona pandemic issues and the impact it caused in various sectors. The virtual one-day Tanwir session will theme Confront COVID-19 and its impact, give a solution to the country. All Muhammadiyah administrators, Aisyah organization and autonomous organization, both domestic and international, will be involved in the Tanwir session. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. India crossed 1 million coronavirus cases on Friday, third only to the United States and Brazil, prompting concern about its readiness to confront an inevitable surge that could overwhelm hospitals and test the country's feeble healthcare system. As quoted by APnews.com, a surge of 34,956 new cases in the past 24 hours took the national total to 1,003,832. The Health Ministry also reported a record number of 687 deaths for a total of 25,602. It said 635,757 people have recovered, and the recovery rate was continuing to improve at 63%. The grim milestone comes at a time when several Indian states are imposing focused lockdowns to stem the outbreaks amid frantic efforts by local governments to protect the economy. So far, three states, Maharashtra, Delhi, and Tamil Nadu, have accounted for more than half of the total cases. But in India's vast countryside, which is much less prepared and with weaker healthcare, the pandemic is clearly growing. British Airways has said it will retire all of its Boeing 747s as it suffers from the sharp travel downturn. As quoted by BBC.com, the UK's airline is the world's largest operator of the jumbo jets, with 31 in the fleet. British Airways stated that it is with great sadness that the British Airways can confirm and British Airways is proposing to retire its entire 747 fleet with immediate effect. Airlines across the world have been hit hard by coronavirus-related travel restrictions. It is unlikely the British Airways magnificent queen of the skies will ever operate commercial services for British Airways again due to downturn in travel caused by the COVID-19 global pandemic. The World Health Organization emergencies Dr. Michael Ryan says it is unrealistic to expect a larger team to arrive in China this month to investigate the animal origins of the coronavirus. As quoted by APnews.com, last week, two WHO staffers flew to Beijing as part of an advanced team to plan more studies into how COVID-19 first emerged. Expert believes the virus most likely moved to humans from animals. The investigation aims to prevent future outbreaks. Michael Ryan says WHO was trying to put together a bigger team to visit China, but doubted it will happen soon. WHO's two experts are quarantined in a Beijing hotel. The UN health agency says there are no plans for them to visit Wuhan, where the outbreak was first detected late last year. The British government ordered an urgent review on Friday into how daily coronavirus death figures in England are calculated, amid claims the current method overestimates the tally. As quoted by APnews.com, the refuse was prompted by concerns raised over why England is still recording way more deaths than Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Researchers looked at whether differing methods may account for the disparity. On the same day recently, England has seen more than 100 daily virus-related deaths as opposed to none in the other parts of the UK. As a whole, the UK has recorded a coronavirus death toll of 45,119, the third highest in the world behind the United States and Brazil. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. Today, the first news comes from Gianyar Bali. Kapela Ubud Hotel, owned by Indonesian citizen, which has only been operating for 2 years in the village of Kaliki, Tegalalang, Gianyar Regency, Bali, was chosen as the best hotel in the world in 2020 by Travel Plus Leisure magazine. Mark Swinton, general manager of Kapela Ubud, told Antara in Tegalalang, Gianyar last Wednesday, to thank the readers of the magazine and also the hotel guests. Thanks to the readers' assessment and testimonials from their guests, the Hotel Kapela Ubud was chosen as the best hotel in the world in 2020. He added, since it began operating on July 18, 2018, there had been around 2,000 guests from Indonesia and abroad. When asked about the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic, whether to make the Kapela Hotel in Ubud stop operation, he explained that the hotel he was managing continued to operate. It never stopped, even though the government stopped all international and domestic flight routes. This hotel does not impose layoffs on employees during the pandemic. Kapela Hotel Ubud was designed by renowned architect Bill Bensley in the middle of the Tegalalang forest in the form of a hotel tent with ornaments and style of the 1800s. There are lots of 19th century style ornaments and designs in the rooms and in other hotel facilities. The next news comes from Jambi. Jambi Regional Police continue to promote education program to community about preventing forest and land fires, such as by not opening land or gardens through bush burning because it can be a threat for forest and land fires in Jambi province. Head of Jambi Police Public Relations Police Chief Commissioner Kuswahyudi Tresnadi in Jambi on Tuesday said, the program called Gaspol was a joint movement for processing waste to compost. It was initiated by the Tanjung Jabung Barat Resort Police to prevent forest and land fires in 2020. This education program has also been disseminated to the villages and police officers have provided education on composting, including basic materials used to process land waste from grass into compost. The last news comes from Solo, Central Java. 11 Maret University Surakarta students Warida Rahmani made an innovation by producing hand sanitizer made from nature, namely from aloe vera and betel leaves. The students of the Animal Husbandry Study Program at the Faculty of Agriculture in Solo on Wednesday said she chose the two materials because there were many available in the area. Betel leaf is known as a natural antiseptic that can kill germs, while aloe vera is used as a moisturizer on the skin. According to her, the making is quite easy, namely two ingredients are cut into small sizes and then boiled separately for 15 minutes, then cooled down and mixed into one container with lime juice added. The juice was added as a scent on the hand sanitizer. In addition to developing the student who was attending the UNS COVID-19 Real Work Lecture in Utaran Village, Geger District, Madiun, East Java, also transmitted the knowledge to local residents. Listener, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on July 18, 1974, when a public company of National Housing Development was established. Public Company of National Housing Development is a state-owned enterprise which operates in housing and settlement. The company was established as the government solution in providing decent housing for middle to lower communities. Through a big-scale development concept, the company succeeded to give significant contribution in forming housing areas and new cities throughout Indonesia. The next event is that in 1976, Nadia Comaneci obtained a perfect record of 10 in the Olympiad in Montreal, Canada. Romanian young gymnast Nadia Comaneci, 14 years old, was the first female athlete from gymnastic branch who obtained a perfect record 10 in history of the implementation of gymnastic branch in Montreal Olympiad 1976. This was obtained when she won 3 gold medals in the prestigious event. The excitement had occurred in the arena of gymnastics because the numeric board was not designed to display a perfect record number of 10. The signpost could only contain points of 9.90. The last event is on Nelson Mandela International Day. July 18th is the birthday of former President of South Africa, Nelson Mandela. To commemorate his birthday, the United Nations declared that July 18th as Nelson Mandela International Day. This has been an appreciation for him since 2009. The decision was the first time for the United Nations in giving respect to someone. To commemorate the day, people throughout the world are expected to do social activities in their respective regions. And listener, that was Today in History.
Cinta berawal begitu saja, ku tak menyangka tawa candamu membuatku ingin selalu bersama. Jujur aku takut kehilangan dirimu. Tetaplah di sini bersamaku. Lama-lama ku jadi suka padamu. Ku terpesona padamu. Jatuh cinta padamu. Aku jadi suka padamu. Ku terpesona padamu. Cinta.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia Today, entitling COVID-19 Pandemic Encourages Digital Growth in Indonesia. The COVID-19 pandemic is considered to have accelerated digital growth in Indonesia because it raises the need to be productive while continuing to promote health and safety protocols. Special Staff of the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, SOE, Macroeconomics, Muhammad Ihsan said, that in an online discussion on synergy of SOEs, digital payment acceleration in the new normal economy in Jakarta on Wednesday, July 15. According to Ihsan, COVID-19 has influenced all economic activities and only leaves activities that are virtual. If producers and consumers usually meet in the market, this time because of a pandemic, the two cannot be brought together in the market, so some businesses die. And only the virtual ones alive. Ihsan added, however, a pandemic should not weaken productivity because digitalization, on the other hand, can also encourage productivity. Like the change from using cash to non-cash, which reduces security risk. In addition, digitalization also drives cost efficiency. On the same occasion, Telkomsel Mitra Inovasi CEO Andi Kristianto agreed that the COVID-19 pandemic did indeed encourage faster digital transformation. On the other hand, the pandemic also requires adequate infrastructure for digital services needed. Meanwhile, Bank BRI Consumer Director Handayani said, the pandemic did make the economy difficult, but the pandemic also appeared to have accelerated digital transactions in the banking sector because SMEs quickly adopted digital. Handayani said, beforehand, Indonesian banking projected Bank 4.0 or digitalization in the new banking world would begin in 2021-2022. The pandemic condition, in fact, had driven the acceleration of the transformation. Responding to these opportunities, Chief Marketing Officers of Digital Financial Services, Link Aja, Edward Kilian Suwignyo, expressed readiness to help accelerate digital economic growth in Indonesia. Edward hopes that strong cooperation and synergy across sectors can support the company's efforts to continue to develop services so that the community can be productive but safe and healthy. Thus, it contributed to the acceleration of digital economic growth. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Sahabat sejatiku, hilangkah dari ingatanmu. Di hari kita saling berbagi. Dengan kotak sejuta mimpi, aku datang menghampirimu. Kuperlihatkan semua hartaku. Selalu berpendapat kita ini yang terhebat. Kesombongan di masa muda yang indah. Aku raja, kau pun raja. Aku hitam, kau pun hitam. Arti teman lebih dari sekedar materi.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will take you to Binuang, South Kalimantan to explore the beauty of Batu Hapu Cave. Batu Hapu's natural cave is located near the Binuang Market, precisely in Hapu Village, Hatungun District, Tapir Regency, South Kalimantan Province. The location is 43 kilometers from Rantau City or 154 kilometers from Banjarmasin City. Being in the middle of the mountainous area makes the atmosphere around the cave feel cool and beautiful. The condition of the road to Batu Hapu Cave is quite good. The view of typical rural life and the natural atmosphere of the mountains before entering the area are quite beautiful, making your trip comfortable. Arriving at the tourism site, visitors can immediately park their vehicles in the parking lot available near the guard post. Then from the parking lot, visitors still have to take a walk of dozens of stairs to get to the location of the cave, which is in the middle of the hill. Batu Hapu Cave is a large karst cave with a large cave mouth. Two cave lips are connected to a concrete ladder, making it easier for visitors to enter the cave. At the mouth of the cave, visitors will be greeted by pointed stones which can create a different atmosphere from the others. It's little scary because it's dark, but when the sunlight enters the cave, visitors will be amazed by the decoration of the stalagmites and stalactites in it. This scenery is very beautiful to capture. Listeners, Batu Hapu Cave is technically open 24 hours. However, visitors are not allowed to visit when it is dark. To enjoy the beauty of the karst cave, adults and children only need to pay a ticket worth 2,500 rupiah per person, including on holidays. Because there are no stalls or food stalls around the location, visitors are advised to bring their food and drinks. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Batu Hapu Cave in Binuang, South Kalimantan. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about Backup 2020. Stay tuned with us at www.vinews.id. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy officially opened the 5th Papa Rekraf for Startup Program, or BECUP, on Tuesday, July 7th. BECUP is an annual program initiated by the Creative Economy Agency, or BECRAF. Since 2016, it has supported the growth of digital startups in Indonesia to enhance economic growth. In 2020, BECUP highlighted the need to revive the tourism industry and the creative economy amid COVID-19 pandemic. Many startups in Indonesia are affected. The BECUP program is also expected to be able to encourage national startups that are already running or are pioneering to be more active in their work and to revive the creative economy and tourism in the new normal. In its fifth year, BECUP is about to select hundreds of fresh startups engaged in the creative economy and tourism. This program is implemented in 5 batches in 5 major cities in Indonesia. They are Jakarta, Surabaya, Bali, Medan, and Makassar. 20 best fresh startups from each batch will be selected at the initial selection stage before the selected fresh startups go through a bootcamp period of 3 days. Then the 20 pre-startups will be selected again to determine 8 best pre-startups of each batch. A total of 40 pre-startups from all batches will receive intensive mentoring for 1 month to prepare them to run their business. More than 110 mentors who are experts in their fields have been prepared by BECUP 2020 to guide, assist, and provide sufficient provisions for startups throughout the program. Registration for the first batch of BECUP 2020 will open in Jakarta on July 10, 2020, and the second batch is to take place in Surabaya on July 29th, 3rd in Bali on August 7th, 4th in Medan on August 20th, and 5th in Makassar on September 1st. More than 500 startups are targeted to participate in the BECUP 2020 program. After going through the selection process, these startups will be fostered and 40 best startups will be selected to enter the incubation stage with high-profile mentors in the Indonesian digital startup industry. And listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Sumbang Sihku. The song Sumbang Sihku tells about someone who composes a song for his lover. He dedicates the song to entertain his lover's heart and eliminate homesickness of his lover. The song is not melodious, but he hopes the expression of his heart is received with pleasure. Well, listener, here is Soekardi with keroncong song entitled Sumbang Sihku.
Sangat jatuh cinta
Of Indonesia.
Sapu tangan yang harum bahunya menawan hatiku. Basah air mataku karena datangnya tangisku. Sapu tangan yang dulu ku terima dari kekasihku. Pada masa dahulu berdua pertama bertemu, penuh dengan rencana dan janji telah disetujui. Meskipun bagaimana terjadi sehidup semati, sapu tangan di waktu sekarang bagai puranku. Karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku. Sehidup sehidup sekarang bagai puran karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berjalan di gelap malam, langkahku pun tertati, telah membeku hatiku ini. Rasanya kau takkan tahu, tuk sejenak ini ku akhiri, namun rasa cinta tak ingin berlalu. Cuma kamu yang mampu sembuhkan hati yang terluka. Aku yang terluka karena kamu. Ku berharap kau sadari betapa sakitnya.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.